Okay. So Matthew chapter 14, and we make a little confession here for those of you who are with us for the first time, and we thank God for you. I would like to send you a thank you letter this week if you'd be willing to give me your name and address on one of the cards there in front of you. And you can give me a prayer request or praise, question, anything at all on those cards. You can hand it to me after the service, all right? So the words are on the screen. If you agree with this, I invite you to join with us as we make this confession together. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert, my heart is open, my spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You sound great. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30. Jesus comes to the disciples somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Some of you can relate to storms in life. I can tell you from my own testimony, battling some health issues previously and not knowing what caused them, seemed like that 3 o'clock in the morning time frame is when I would sometimes wake up wired, my heart racing. Thank God he comes walking on the storm and can meet us where we are. And Peter wasn't sure it was really him. So he said, if it's you, let me come out on the water to you. So he said, come on. And this is what it says in verse 30. It says, when he, Peter, saw that the wind was boisterous, he's seeing the waves and he's feeling the wind. It says he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? What's implied there is, why did you doubt me? And then it says in verse 32, they got into the boat and the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. This morning, I wanted to read that scripture first because Peter realized the seriousness of his condition and he knew that he could not save himself. That's important. He knew his true condition and he knew he could not save himself, but he knew who could. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus immediately caught him. I looked up this word save. I want to give you just a simple definition and then I'll read another scripture. This is what saved means in this original language that the New Testament was written in. It means to rescue, to deliver, or to free. And to heal, to rescue. The idea is that the rescue comes to someone who's in grave danger. So to save means to rescue, to deliver, to free, and to heal. It's all the same word. When it talked about Jesus healing multitudes, it could have said he saved them. It's all this inclusive word that Jesus does. We read these words in Hebrews 7:25 to give a little bit of a context to how Jesus saves. Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore he, Jesus, is also able, I love that, he's able to save to the uttermost. Someone says he can save from the guttermost to the uttermost. So he can save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. How? Since he always lives to make intercession for us. He's alive. And because he's alive, he's able to save. He's able to rescue. He's able to deliver. He is able to heal. And so this morning, this two words is the title of the message, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. In other words, he does rescue. He does deliver. He heals. And this morning, I'd like to just take a balance of this time that we have to ask and answer two questions. What does he save us from? And I'll mention one reality. But I'd like to spend a little more time on what he saves us for. So what does Jesus save us from, and what does Jesus save us for? Would you turn back to Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. This is an angel speaking to Joseph, who is Jesus' earthly father. He was not his biological father. But he says in verse 21 that this one, his engaged Mary, would bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus means Jehovah, or the Lord is salvation. That's what Jesus means. His name reveals his mission. So he says, he'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So here's the truth I would like to just share with you today. What he saves us from, one thing, he saves us from our sins. Jesus saves us from our sins. And I'll explain what a sin is and what the consequences are for that. But I'd like to just mention this first. It doesn't say Jesus came to save us from our mistakes. Let's not be afraid of the word sin. Jesus didn't suffer and die an excruciating death on the cross to save me from 2 + 2 = 5. That's a mistake. He came because I needed to be saved from my sins. So what is sin? Sin is just simply breaking God's law or his word. That's what the scripture tells us. Sin is breaking God's word, his law. And there is a consequence. If we break the law of man and we're caught, there is a consequence. There is a penalty. It might be a fine. It might be incarceration, whatever it may be. There is a penalty for breaking God's word. What is it? The wages of sin is what? The wages of sin is death. Now, the Bible mentions two types of death, and Jesus taught about it. If you think of death as separation, death is separation. James tells us that as the body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So physical death is the separation of our spirit from our body. But spiritual death, which caused the physical, is separation from a holy God who is sinless. That's the death that we really have to address first, because these bodies are going to give out in time. But Jesus said, if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. Now, your body will go in the ground, but I'll take care of that in time too, because I live, you shall live also. But he came to rescue us, or to save us from our sins. And this is the hard reality of it. It's not just that we're separated from God in life, because we can live and die what people may call a good life and be a success in the world's eyes, but we could be separated from God and spiritually dead, if that makes sense. But if we die in that condition, sadly, this grieves my heart, we would not only be separated from God, we would be separated from God, that's the issue, but we would be separated from all that he is. The Bible says God is love, and we would be separated from true, unconditional love forever. He is mercy. The Bible says he's truth. We would be separated from truth. God is light. Jesus described hell as a place of outer darkness. I'm so thankful today that Jesus came to save, and he saved us from our sins. He is mighty to save, and I thank God for that truth. Don't we all need the Lord? Everyone needs compassion. Would you sing that with me? Everyone needs compassion.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Mercy. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Savior, he can move the mountains.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation.
He rose
and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
So take me as you find me. So
Take me as you find me, all my fears and failures.
Fill my life.
Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in.
I surrender it all.
Now I surrender. I surrender, Savior. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. The author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Jesus saves. Would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them that? Jesus saves. Would you join me in the Gospel of John if you're in Matthew, just over past Mark, Luke, and John chapter 15. If you hold your spot there a moment, I want to give you a couple other verses. If you want to write them down, they'll be on your screen. My background in my early years of church, thank God for Mom having me in church. And even though I got away for a while, I knew the way back. But in my background, there was a strong emphasis on what was called evangelism, like leading people to Jesus. And of course, that's the first step. That's what we need. And I remember sometimes, you know, we would be taught like a typical greeting, or not necessarily greeting, but we would want to ask the question, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? And I'm not trying to make light of it, but that was just the, and if somebody said, well, I'm going to heaven, then the follow-up question might be, how do you know? Well, I would say this, if you don't know that, that's a good question to know. You want to know that not only where I'm going when I take my last breath, but I want to know I'm on the right path now, because I don't want the devil to slip me a counterfeit. But I began to, I'll tell you this. I talked to a lady yesterday in North Carolina. She used to live here in Hopewell. She came years ago when we first started the church. Her husband was my fifth grade teacher. And I had the, I would say, privilege of doing the funeral for her husband and one of her sons. And she's had some health issues, so she can't, you know, she's not seeing 100%. But she just talked about how she was so thankful that she memorized verses when she was younger because she can call them to mind now. And she listens to a lot of worship music and she gets the word in her that way. But here's what she said. I thought it was interesting. She said, I don't know how people make it without the Lord. I said, amen. I am so thankful that I don't have to live one day in this life without him. So I told you about my little background because I wanted you to see. How about this question? Not just, yeah, you want to know if you die tonight, where you'll go, but what about this? What if you live? Jesus saves. Let me give you three, I believe, realities and truths of why he saves us. So he saves us from our sins, but he saves us for, first of all, his Father. He saves us for his Father. That scripture is found in 1 Peter 3:18. And I've used this illustration before. I'll tell you in just a moment after I share the verse. It's on the screen. It says this, for Christ also suffered once for sins. Because he did it perfectly. So he suffered once for sins, the just, the righteous one, for the unjust, that's us. Why? That he might bring us to God. I've shared before that Our daughter is with us today. We thank God, but she's here. If someone, a friend of hers, came home one day to here to our house, our home, she has a home in Lynchburg, but if someone came with her, they wouldn't stand out on the front stoop while she came in. If they're with her, they're in. If we're with Jesus, we're in. We're in with the Father. We're in. He gives us access to heaven, and he is the only one who gives us access to heaven. All roads do not lead to heaven. Jesus leads to heaven. It's Jesus who suffered and died, who paid the price, and who conquered death for us. But thank God there's a way. So he brings us to his Father. And I'm so thankful. See, I've come to realize that I'm all for the beauties of heaven and all of that, and I think it's going to be incredible. Because there are places on earth that are beautiful, and in a world that's been marred by sin, still beauty of creation. But heaven, see, if Jesus wasn't there, it wouldn't be heaven. He saves us for his Father. So every good blessing and benefit comes from being in the family and knowing God as our Father, because it's in knowing God as our Father and the truth of his word that we discover our true identity. I don't need the world to tell me who I am or what I am. I need the one who loves me most to tell me who I am and what I am, and to build my life on what he says. And so we find our true identity. We find security. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And my Father, who's greater than me, is they won't be able to snatch them out of my Father's hand or my hand." There's a security in knowing God through Jesus, because I'm in the hand of the Father and the hand of the Son, and he doesn't drop anyone. So Jesus saves. He saves us for our Father. And then it's in knowing who we are in Christ and the truth of his word that we live out our full potential in this life and the life to come. I can be a success possibly in the world's eyes. I can be a success on paper. I heard a DJ just say this the other day. He's interviewed Justin Timberlake and 50 Cent, but he said, I was success on paper, but empty on the inside. And so Jesus saves us for his Father, and it's in knowing God as our Father that we live up to our full potential in this life and for the life to come. So he saves us for his Father. Second, he saves us for his family. He saves us for his Father, and he saves us for his family. I'll read a few verses here from Ephesians chapter 2 in just a moment. God designed us to be a member of a human family and his family. People just don't appear out of thin air. We come together, we love, we respect one another, and out of that union, new life is born, and there's birth and growth, and God designed that. But it's a similar picture of what he wants in his family. It's his family that's the eternal one that will last forever. This is what the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. I want to read these three verses from the New Living Translation. It says, "Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us." So we all can come into God's family now. Verse 19, "So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." That's a blessing. Jesus saves us for his Father and his family. And then verse 20, "Together," would you turn to someone next to you and just tell them, "Together"? "Together." "Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself." Have you ever heard the phrase, membership has its privileges? Growth is a blessing. As I know it's true in scripture, but I'm reminded of it routinely, that we need relationships to grow. Okay, y'all can be quiet if that's all right. Yes, sometimes those get on your nerve, relationships or whatever, but that's how we grow. Oh, we can, but growth is a blessing that comes from being in the family. Yeah, patience. Encouragement. How many of you have ever been down and it was your brothers and sisters and the Lord who came along and lifted just to encourage you, to build you up, to comfort you, to give you strength, and you've probably done it for someone else? But those are blessings that come from being in the family. And it's, I think even stability and strength come. God didn't call us to be a Lone Ranger Christian, man. We need each other. And even more as we see the day of his return approaching. And so these blessings come from being an active and responsible member of a local church family. God designed it that way. So Jesus saves us from our sins, and he saves us for his Father, he saves us for his family, and he saves us for his fruit. John chapter 15, Jesus speaks these words. John chapter 15 and verse 4. Jesus is speaking, and he says, I'm sorry, let me get to the right scripture. John chapter 15, verse 4, Jesus says, abide in me. That means stay in close fellowship, stay in close relationship with me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It says, if we stay in close fellowship with the Lord, notice that, he produces the fruit. I got rotten fruit, but Jesus in me produces good fruit. It's spiritual fruit. It's the fruit of God's Spirit. In other words, if we stay in close fellowship with him, we grow more like him. That's the ultimate goal, and it's the ultimate fruit that he's after in our lives. And he gives us 9 characteristics. I'll show you just 3 in a moment. But these characteristics and virtues of the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus saves us so we can be close with him now. I need him in life right now. I need him in eternity, but I need him today. And so that's what we're talking about, the abiding in his fellowship, abiding in close relationship with him. How do we stay close? On the front of your bulletin, it talks about it. It says our purpose and then our priorities. We stay close to him in prayer. We stay close to him through worship. Like I was just sharing about this lady yesterday. We stay close to him in scripture. We stay close to him in godly fellowship and worshiping and serving together. It's how we stay close. It's how we not only grow together, we grow more like him. I want to share 3 of those virtues with you. We'll sing one more song. In John 15, 9, Jesus said this. All of these were words of Jesus. John 15, 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Make yourself at home in my love. Think about this, please. It's a love that is unconditional. So I can love you if you make me feel good about myself. If you agree with me, this is unconditional love. Unconditional love can be in our heart because Jesus saves. And he saves us for his Father, his family, and his fruit. He produces that. Don't you want to know you're loved unconditionally? It comes from him. He says this in chapter 16, verse 22. John chapter 16, verse 22. Jesus said, therefore now you have sorrow, because he told them he was going to leave. But I'll see you again. I'm only going to be gone for 3 days. I'll see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy. Notice whose joy it becomes. Your joy, no man will take from you. Not only unconditional love, that's an abiding joy that's not dependent on what I go through, on what others say about me. It's an abiding joy that comes because I'm right with God, and Jesus is able to save. Do you see how it's not just saving us from, it's saving us for? Saves us for his Father, his family, and his fruit. Then one more, and Lord knows, I need this one. Chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you, I'm giving you my word, that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world, you're gonna have trouble. You're gonna have tribulation. You're gonna have your tests and trials. But don't let it get you down. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus saves. Let me ask you this. Would you turn to Romans? If you're there in John, just 2 books over, Acts and Romans, and I'll give you 2 last scriptures after we sing this song. Jesus saves. This song says, Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified. See, that's something for life right now. Rising, he justified. And he's freed me freely forever. And one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The Word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. And rising, he justified. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they led him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed him to die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing our sins, my Redeemer. The hand that healed nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. And rising, he justified. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose over death he had conquered, and now is ascended, my Lord. Death could not hold him. Death could not hold his fight. The grave could not keep him from rising again. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. And rising, he justified freely forever. One day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming. One day the skies with his glories will shine. Wonderful day, my beloved one brings. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. And rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious. Living, he loved me. Living, he loved me. chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. This verse influenced the name of our church. It says, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God that he did. Sinners. Verse 9, much more. There are four much mores in this chapter. Here's one of them. I love that. Much more. In fact, would you just say much more? Much more then. Having now been justified by his blood, the price of his life's blood that he gave on the cross, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Thank God that he saves us from the judgment of God's wrath against our sin. We're saved from that wrath through him. Then he goes on, though, in verse 10, he says this, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled, we were brought back into right relationship with our Father in heaven through the death of his Son. Here we go again. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What does that mean? That, okay, he's already saved me from something in the past, and he saved me from a coming judgment of God's wrath against my sin. But he's alive right now. He came back to life. He rose so that he could save us even now. I'm justified. That's why verse 17 says, for by one man's offense, death reigned through the one. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Would you join me in Romans chapter 10? That's the last scripture I'd like to give you. Jesus experienced the judgment of God's wrath against our sin on the cross, not just so that I can be saved from my sins, but so that we could experience his love, we could experience his life, his forgiveness, we can experience his freedom and his victory right now. I'm thankful for what Jesus saved me from. But I'll just be honest with you, as a follower of Jesus today, I still need him to save me, to save, to rescue, to deliver, to heal. I need him to save me when I'm tempted to sin. This hit me home this week. I said, Lord, help me when I'm tempted to sin. I want to be like Peter. Lord, save me. And reach out to him because he's able. He's alive. And he saves. He doesn't just save me from my past or save me for heaven. He saves me right now because I need to be saved. I need him to heal me when I'm hurting. I need him to free me when I'm bound by maybe resentment or unforgiveness. I need him to comfort me. I know I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, not just in the sweet by and by, I need him right now. Jesus saves. I need him to rescue me when I'm defeated. And I just need him to know that he reached out his hand and say, why did you doubt me? But I'm going to restore you too. And I'm going to help you get back up and keep going in the right direction. Jesus saves. Oh, I wish. Let me close with this. I'll read these last couple of verses in Romans 10. I heard there's a Christian station on called Daystar. A lady and her husband started that. The husband passed away. She's remarried. Her name is Joni, and she has a program on TV called, on that station called Joni Table Talk. And she shared a testimony of a lady who, whose husband went with her to church one Easter, and the pastor's message was on hell. And so after church, this husband told his wife, I'm never going back to church again. I mean, no, never's a long time. A year later, they had a different pastor, and he ended up going to church. Would anyone like to take a guess what the topic was of the day? spoke about hell. So after the service, what does he do? He gives his life to Jesus and commits to follow him to be a Christian. His wife asked him, why? A year ago, you said you're not even coming back. Why you give your life to Jesus today? She was happy. He had a revealing answer. In my opinion, he said, the pastor last year spoke about hell like he wanted me to go. This pastor spoke about hell like he didn't. Even this morning, I feel the heaviness of my responsibility before God and before you. I don't take it lightly. I'm saying what I'm saying out of genuine concern and love. If I've never met you, I care. I don't want anyone to go to hell. But it's more. I've come to realize, walking with the Lord for a few years, that Jesus is so much more than a fire escape. I need him right now. And I would just say to anyone, I don't want you to go to hell, but I don't want you to miss even one more day of knowing God is your Father and being in the family and having fellowship with the living Savior who loves you and cares and who'll walk with you through every trial. He'll help you. He'll get you back up when you fall. He'll heal your heart. He'll be your strength when you're weak. Jesus saves. How can we know him? Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Said, what does it say? There's a scripture from Deuteronomy. It says the word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. God's not far away. You may feel like you're a million miles away. He's a lot closer than you realize. Verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, in other words, if you proclaim him as your Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Rescued, delivered. Verse 10, it's got to be in the heart, though. I can believe something with my head and it not influence how I live. What I really believe in my heart is a game changer. So verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes and is made righteous, made right with God, and with the confession, or with our mouth, we confess our salvation. Jesus saves. Saves us from our sins. Saves us for his Father, his family, and his fruit. I would just say this. If God is drawing you today and you're not sure, I want to assure you, if you sense that drawing, no demon will ever try to influence you to give your life to Jesus. That's the Spirit of the living God drawing you. Your heart might even be racing. There's that little bit of conviction. It's uncomfortable. I've been there. But I thank God I was there. Because that's what it takes. It's that drawing of God's Spirit to the truth of who Jesus is and what he offers us. If today you've never made that, or maybe you like me in my past need to just come back home to make Jesus Lord of all. As we sing, Lord, I give you my heart, would you do it? Would you do it? Would you not leave this place today without being right with the one who loves you and gave his life for you? Can we stand together? And the children can come back in if they want. Just call out to the Lord even as we sing this. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way. to sing this part. This is my desire to honor you.
This is my desire to honor you.
All my heart.
Lord, with all my heart, I worship you.
All I have within me.
All I have within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
One more time, Lord, I give you.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. And I live every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for one moment? If today you would say, Brother Rocky, I gave my heart to Jesus today, or I came back home, whatever it is, I would like to know, and I want to pray for you. You can write it on the card, whatever your decision is. But I just want to encourage you. Take that first step, but then stay close to him. Keep walking with him. Stay close. If there's anyone here today who just say, Brother Rocky, I made a commitment to the Lord today, and I want you to pray for me today and this week. Is there anyone here who would just lift your hand wherever you are? Lord, bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes. Anyone else? God bless you. Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate. Thank you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you so much for your honesty. My brother or sister, I'm lifting you up to the throne of grace right now. Lord, you are able to save and you're able to keep. Draw us to yourself. Help us have the joy of doing your will. And I want to pray for each one who's lifted their hands and Lord, whatever their most tempting situation may be, may you flood them with grace and victory as a testimony of who you are for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we go